From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. There are only 55 iBanks in the United States, and Boise is home to one of them. The goal of these facilities is to help restore the sight of thousands of people every year through the generosity of other people who agreed to donate their eye tissue after they have passed on. And November is Eye Donation Month, and the nonprofit group Envision Eye Bank is trying to get the word out about what they do and how people can help provide the gift of sight. In the last year, they recovered 248 pairs of corneas. So with us now is Jay Lugo, the executive director of Envision. Jay, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you for having me.
So, Jay, can you talk a little bit about Envision? How long have you been around?
We were started by Lions Clubs here in Southern Idaho back in 1969. So 54 years now, we have been recovering eyes from humanitarian individuals that donate their eyes upon death. We process them, and Idaho is our main focus. We want to keep There's a waiting list here in Idaho, so we want to keep everything we can here in Idaho first. But if we can't, then we do ship them around the world and also internationally to help people all over the world see again.
So how exactly does an eye bank work, Jay?
That's a great question. So we are the designated eye bank for, again, Southern Idaho. So we have some legislation in place where hospitals contact us upon death of a patient, and it is mandatory. So we get the calls. We will triage with nurses to see if someone is eligible to donate. We also check the donor registry. So here in Idaho, we're lucky enough to have a donor registry. It's yesidaho.org. So we'll check the registry to see if that individual had said yes to donation when they got their driver's license. And then from that point on, we will talk to the family as well and just make sure it's okay to proceed with their loved one's wishes. And if the family's in agreement as well, then our team, and we have a team from Eastern Oregon all the way to the Utah border, up to Salmon, across to Riggins and everything down below, we'll go out and recover eyes. We do recover the entire eye, but it is the cornea that's being transplanted. The cornea is the clear dome over the colored part of your eye. It provides about two-thirds of your vision, and that's what we're transplanting. Many people have corneal blindness due to genetic disease, or it could also be from injury and many other reasons for, there's actually 47 different diagnoses for the need of a transplant.
Wow.
Yeah, so we will provide corneas for transplant, but we recover the entire eye because the white of the eye is also used. The white of the eye is called sclera, and we can use that for grafting procedures. So if someone has thinning of their sclera or punctures their sclera in an injury, we an ophthalmologist can do a patch graft and fix that. So one eye donor will literally help up to six different individuals. So one cornea goes to one individual, another cornea goes to another, and then there's the sclera that can be utilized as well.
Do some of the transplant surgeries happen here in Idaho?
Yeah, we're, again, very lucky to have three transplanting physicians currently here. We have two here in the Treasure Valley. We have three here in the Treasure Valley, and we have another one in Eastern Idaho, another transplanting ophthalmologist in Eastern Idaho. So they do happen here. Last year, we provided 115 corneas for local surgeries, for Idaho surgeries, out of the 248 that we did. So again, as I mentioned earlier, our main focus is Idaho. We are the eye bank for Idaho, so we want to help eliminate that waiting list that we have. Currently, we have 17 people in Idaho waiting for a corneal transplant, and then we have about 40,000 people nationwide waiting for a transplant as well. Corneal transplants are the most widely performed transplant in the United States. We did close to 80,000 of them throughout the U.S. last year.
So this is something that sounds like it's critically needed for folks.
You know, it really is. You know, I mentioned 17 people on there. We'll probably two people will be off that list today, or actually this week. And then, you know, we'll have another four. So it's an ongoing list. It is very much needed. Again, I mentioned earlier, there's so many different reasons somebody would need a transplant. But, you know, just a very quick story to give you an idea of what this can do. We had a grandmother who walked into our office a while back, and she had been blind for 15 years, and she had never seen her grandkids. And she had a genetic disease that clouded over both of her corneas, so she was completely blind, and she hesitated to have surgery. She finally had the surgery done, and she came in and told us the story where it's an outpatient procedure, doesn't take very long for the surgery. The doctor did the transplant, and the next day she goes into the doctor's office and they remove the patch, and she said up against the wall were her five grandkids, and she was able to see them for the first time. So that's part of what we hear almost on a daily basis. You know, the gift of sight is just tremendous. Sometimes we tend to take it for granted, but when somebody's really in need and they're able to see again, it'll just change their life.
Jay, what about the families of the people who have donated their eye tissue? I mean, have you heard from any of them?
Yeah, that's absolutely. With Eye Donation Month here in November, part of what we're doing is honoring those families and honoring the donors, you know, the individuals that gave the utmost gift that somebody could give. So, yeah, there's two sides to the story. There's we talk to almost every family that donates eyes, and helping them through the grieving process. We had a mom not too long ago that donated her teenage daughter's eyes. And, you know, she broke down in tears when we told her that they were both transplanted. One went to a 23-year-old in Twin Falls. The other went to a 21-year-old in Idaho Falls. And transplant took place and everything was successful. And she broke down in tears. I went to console her, and she actually looked at me and said, "Oh, don't worry." She goes, "Believe it or not, I've tracked everything down." And she was a full organ donor, organ and tissues as well as eyes. And she said 70 people benefited from my daughter's death.
Wow.
The heart had gone to San Francisco. A kidney had gone to the University of Iowa for transplant. And she was able to track everything else. She said 70 people. I had to even ask her, 70? And she said, yes, 70 people had benefited from her daughter's death. And she said, you know, we're always going to grieve for our daughter, but knowing that she's living on in someone else will make the grieving process just a little bit easier. So yeah, there's always in our office here, there's two sides to the story. The individuals that again give that utmost gift and donate, and then the people that are blind that are waiting for those transplants or those donations to happen so they can have the transplant.
Jay, is there an age limit on someone who can donate their eyes when they die? And I ask that question because I know sometimes, you know, as you age, there's not always, not all organs can be donated, you know, as if you're elderly or something like that. So I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Absolutely. There really is no age limit. So our youngest donor, and Gemma, I've been here for 30 years now. So our youngest donor in that amount of time was 2 days old.
Oh.
And our oldest donor was 101 years old. And what I tell everyone is that anybody can be a donor. It doesn't matter if you've had cataract surgery. It doesn't matter if you wear eyeglasses. It doesn't even matter if you had LASIK surgery, where that's the surgery to correct nearsightedness. Anybody can be a donor. Now, as far as transplantation goes, it's generally between about the ages of 5 to 80 that would be transplanted. Our oldest donor that was transplanted into somebody else was 80 years old. The 101-year-old that we had, though, was she had retinitis pigmentosa, which is a eye disease, kind of a rare genetic eye disease, and she was on a research registry. So when she passed, her family contacted us and told us that she was on a registry out of the University of California, San Francisco, and we were able to recover her eyes and provide the eyes to the university so they could do research on retinitis pigmentosa. So we're affiliated with many different research programs throughout the country. So again, anybody can donate. And I always say, you know, if you're going to donate and your eyes are used for transplant, up to 6 people can benefit from that. Mm. If you donate and your eyes are used for research, literally thousands of people will benefit from that.
So before I let you go, I know you're celebrating 10 years of collaboration with Idaho State EMS Communications Center. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, that's been tremendous. So I mentioned to you earlier that about the process. So when someone passes at a hospital, we get that phone call. So we know of all the deaths that do occur at all of our hospitals from one end of the state to the other. However, what was happening over 11, 12 years ago was if somebody died on an interstate or a highway, they were unable to donate because we wouldn't get that phone call. So we instituted, again, about 10 years ago, a program with Idaho State Police and the Idaho State Communications Center. And now when somebody is in a motor vehicle accident or in an accident of some sort or does pass on the freeway or a state highway, then Idaho State Police will contact the Communications Center and they will contact us. We'll again triage, usually with the coroner in whatever county that's in. And now somebody, now that person has the ability to donate, where before they didn't have that ability. So it's been a tremendous partnership. We're also working on some other entities that might be involved in that program as well. But right now, it's really really helped us in the donation process and increasing the amount of transplants we can provide to the people here in Idaho.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and telling us about what you do and your program. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.